In 1776, the founding fathers of the United States of America wrote a little document called the Declaration of Independence. In that document, they proclaimed the pursuit of happiness to be an unalienable right to mankind. The word unalienable is archaic, but the other word that's commonly used is inalienable, which is probably not a lot more frequently used by the common person than the previous one. But it means basically that which cannot be taken away. In part, the document reads, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, rights that cannot be taken away, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Since that declaration, it seems to have been taken for granted that happiness is a God-given, inseparable part of American destiny. There have always been people ready to capitalize on this desire for happiness, selling gullible people their particular dream or product. Various utopian movements were spawned in the early days of America, and they continue. Books promising to show the path to personal happiness and fulfillment sell millions of copies each year. Automobiles, deodorants, toothpaste, sold with the promise to make all people happy who partake. But in an era of affluence and increased leisure, people seem to be finding that happiness is ever more elusive. We have nice homes, we have money, drive nice cars, we travel as we choose, we educate ourselves, we educate our children, we spend billions of dollars annually in recreation. Yet the best of times, to many, seem to be the worst of times. The suicide rate among young people has risen sharply in the past few decades. It's been estimated that more than 10 million persons in the United States need professional treatment for depression. We humans seem to expect happiness, but we don't seem to know where or how to find it. Like Solomon, we look everywhere on earth for happiness and come away saying all is vanity and striving after the wind. I'm going to suggest that human beings can neither create nor find happiness through their own unaided efforts, because true happiness is a gift from God. And we're going to talk about that idea of true happiness compared to the common usage of the word happy. But I'm going to start off with a curveball question. And that question is it wrong to want to be happy? Unequivocally, I believe the answer to that question is no. I don't believe it's wrong to want to be happy, but I'm pretty much convinced that it's wrong to make happiness a pursuit. And it's also meaningless to do so. In Scripture, we never see anyone being told to or being urged to seek or pursue happiness. We're plainly told to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and as a result of that, we will have the blessings that Christ mentioned. We're told to seek peace and pursue it if we would like to see good days. Peter addresses that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, when he says, "Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it." That seems to indicate that in order to love life and see good days, and that sounds kind of like happiness to me, one must conform his life to the standard set by God. And as a result of that, this person will find happiness. It's so typical of our generation to want the gift, the happiness, the feeling good, the fun, the pleasure, without realizing that those things are not the goal to be pursued, but instead are the byproducts or the rewards of that goal, of that good and noble pursuit. A number of years ago, in an article in Christianity Magazine, gospel preacher Steve Cawthon put it this way. He said, "Pleasure or happiness is not to be a goal. It is an unexpected reward, a gift not sought. It must never be pursued. The pursuit of happiness is vain and miserable. It is prompted by selfishness." To make his point, he quotes 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2 and verse 4, which say, "But know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God." And he goes on to say, self-lovers are pleasure seekers, and they never get what they seek. You know how they release greyhounds at a racetrack? I see them all the time when I'm casting my bets. I'm just kidding. But how they bound out of the gate in pursuit of that mechanical hare. Doesn't matter how fast they run, how much energy they put forth, how badly they want it, they will never catch their elusive prey. It will always remain just out of their reach. I've read the confessions of many people and have known some personally who have sought happiness in every possible way. They run for it, they fly for it, they drink, lie, cheat, steal for it. They divorce for it, they marry for it, retire, recreate, fight, and work for it. But it always remains just out of reach. Many mistake the excitement of the pursuit for the happiness pursued. But when the thrills and the excitement wane, there remains only the sorrow of disillusion. I believe this is what the preacher described in the book of Ecclesiastes. He set out purposely to attain pleasure, to find happiness. What he found was that if a person makes pleasure and happiness his main pursuit in life, his end desired, he will find life to be perpetually disappointing. He will find life filled with vanity and grasping for the wind. After having said all that, I want to point out that I'm using the word happiness as the ultimate goal in life, but happiness, get ready for this, happiness is not what people want anyway. The word happy comes from an old Norse word which means chance or luck. Consider the words happenstance, not a commonly used word. Synonym is luck for this word. It's antiquated, it's archaic. How about the word perhaps? Happenstance, haps, perhaps. It means maybe or with chance or with luck. The word happy itself, you see the connection, hap. Favored by circumstances, lucky. And so the condition of being happy is dependent upon chance. It's dependent upon external circumstances or conditions. So anybody here really want to try to live a life of happiness? I'll give you an example of that. Anybody remember the old cartoons, Peanuts, Charlie Brown? Some decades ago, there was a little book put out called Happiness Is. It was made into a little movie. Happiness is a warm blanket, for example, for Linus. Happiness is Schroeder with his piano. But take away Schroeder's piano. Is he going to be happy? Take away Linus' blanket. Is he going to be happy? Is that what you want? Is that the kind of life you want? Something that's dependent upon external circumstances and conditions? As long as you've got that house that you want, as long as you've got that car that you want, or the iPhone, or the new computer, you're going to be happy. But you take those things away, you take away the happiness. By contrast, the word blessed, as we commonly pronounce it, blessed, carries no such limitation. Though I'm using the word true happiness, or the phrase true happiness, interchangeably with the word blessed, I think it's beneficial to understand the difference between the two. We find the word blessed used various times in the Old Testament. Psalm 1 perhaps comes to mind. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful, and it continues. James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. When he's been proved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And of course, there's the Beatitudes, from a Latin word, beatus, which means happy. Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12, read earlier. Blessed are the poor, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. With the passing of time, the meaning of the word blessed has become obscure to most of us. Some more modern translation have tried to be helpful. For example, the New International Version, instead of saying blessed in Matthew 5, say happy. Happy are the poor in spirit. Happy are the meek. But this word is sort of taken on a sanctimonious flavor, if you will. It's come to be thought of even in some technical, religious, theological sense, a part of theological jargon. You know, that's just a word you don't commonly use unless you're talking Bible things. But the word blessed is translated from the Greek word makarios. And I mention that only because of the connection you'll see with some of the words here, some of the phrases. It was originally used to describe the state of the gods as opposed to that of mere mortals. The gods were said to be hoi makarioi, that is, the blessed ones. Greeks also used a form of the same word to refer to the island of Cyprus. They called it he makaria, the blessed isle. They called it that because they believed the island of Cyprus to be so lovely and fertile of a place that man could find such happiness there that he would never want to leave. Kind of the way we use the word paradise today. And the Beatitudes, blessed, conveys the highest form of spiritual prosperity. It's possible for a child to be, child of God rather, to be blessed, as were the gods of Greek mythology, because one is serving the true God who is supremely blessed. Note the passages that address God in this way. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, Paul talks about the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. Same letter, chapter 6, verses 13 through 16, The Apostle Paul speaks of God, the blessed and only ruler. And so unlike the pure human forms of happiness that men and women seek to gain in the pursuit of power, sensual pleasure, wealth, the happiness that the Bible describes with this word blessed is a condition which cannot be taken away from its possessor. The failure of one's health, the collapse of an important plan, the disappointment of a lost, cherished ambition, these things can spoil the joys that this world can offer. But the believer has an unassailable happiness which comes from walking in the light of God's presence. This is how you can explain Paul and Silas singing praises to God in a prison cell in stocks, having been beaten previously that day. This is a joy that's untouchable by the changing conditions of the world. This is the meaning of blessed, and that is available to any and to all who will come in complete submission to the Lord. The Lord has, in fact, promised true happiness, this blessedness, to his people. The Bible makes it clear that God wants his people to be truly happy. The psalmist said in Psalm 144, verses 11 through 15, "Deliver me, rescue me from the hands of foreigners whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful. Then our sons in their youth will be like well-nurtured plants, and our daughters will be like pillars carved to adorn a palace. Our barns will be filled with every kind of provision. Our sheep will increase by thousands, by tens of thousands in our fields. Our oxen will draw heavy loads. There will be no breaching of walls, no going into captivity, no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed is the people of whom this is true. Blessed is the people whose God is the Lord." Psalm 146, verse 5. "Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God." Proverbs 16, verse 20 says, "He who gives heed to the word will prosper, and happy is he who trusts in the Lord." Happy is from the same word, translated bless in those other passages. Psalm 32, verses 10 and 11. "Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad." Same word as happy, the same word as blessed that we've talked about in other passages. "Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all of you who are upright in heart." Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice, Philippians 4, verse 4. Seems quite clear that God wants his people to be happy. Again, using the word with the understanding. But he bases true happiness upon submission to his will. Happiness is he who trusts in the Lord. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." Psalm 34, verse 8. And so the point is that true happiness, or this condition we're calling blessedness, is based in character, not in circumstances. Jesus constantly emphasized the fact that human lives can be happy only when human hearts are right with God. And the Beatitudes, Jesus pointed to the right qualities of heart. Got some things backwards there, but that's not a problem when you're a backwards sort of guy. That was meant to be humorous, but that's okay. I can live with it. Jesus pointed out the right conditions and qualities of heart upon which true happiness and successful living depends. I'll read again verses 1 through 12 of Matthew chapter 5. Seeing the multitudes, he went on a mountain. When he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So obviously the happiness, if you will, offered by the Beatitudes is far more than the superficial gaiety of worldly life or the lighthearted frame of mind which some religious teachers and writers seem to see as the essence of true religion. It's a spiritual quality of inner joy which the world cannot take from the child of God. It's the state which was so characteristic of Jesus Christ himself. He possessed the character which defined the Beatitudes. He was able, even in the midst of personal sorrows, rejection, humiliation, to know the inner peace and true happiness that's described by this word, blessed. And that's the condition that we need to be seeking. And it's the condition that the Scriptures promise to those who truly seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart." In a little journal called the Hibbert Journal, John Wilkinson said, "The civilized world is living under a cloud, like a neurotic man whose sickness has no name and few definite symptoms beyond general uneasiness and loss of hope." According to some information I came across, 700,000 Americans are in mental institutions. 750,000 Americans are chronic alcoholics. 8 million people manifest definite neurotic tendencies. There is so much misery in human hearts. Suicide is now acknowledged to be the 11th ranking cause of death among adults in this country and the 3rd ranking cause of death for youth 15 to 24 years. A couple of years old, I think, information I came across, but I think the point is valid nonetheless. God has put it within the power of every human being to choose a destiny. Your fate is not forced upon you. You choose what your life will be. I believe it was Abraham Lincoln who once said, "Life is what we make it." Many times we want to blame our happiness or our unhappiness on someone else or on something that happened to us. You will not be happy or unhappy throughout life based on how certain people treat you. You will not be happy or unhappy throughout life due to some genetic accident. You'll not be happy or unhappy throughout life based on whether or not other people straighten up and act the way that you think they should act, behave as you think they should behave. You will be happy or unhappy throughout life based on whether you choose joy or sorrow. And you choose joy, blessedness, happiness, only as you obey, believe, submit to Jesus Christ. You condemn yourself to a life of futile searching, a life of striving for happiness when you refuse to submit to Him. It's happiness, if you will, to know that you are a child of God. It's happiness to know that He loves you with the love of His great heart. It's happiness to know that you can always call on Him, that He's always there ready to hear you, to know that He is eager for you to pour out your heart to Him and for Him to pour out His blessings on you. We need to remember that if righteousness is our goal, we will have both righteousness and true happiness. But if happiness is our goal, we will have neither. Psalm 119, verse 2 says, "Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with a whole heart." If your desire is to seek Him with the whole heart, and there's something you need to do in a public way this morning, we're ready to assist you all together. We stand and sing the song.